Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your reporter and host, with Paul Hertz, engineering for today. Thank you for listening. Today on Local Talk, we'll feature Ed Fallon with Bold Iowa, who will be on the line discussing tomorrow's climate crisis parade in Des Moines at noon at the Cowles Plaza. And Crystal Davis with the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau will have happenings for the first half of February. And the weather is delightful this morning with a dusting of pure white blanketing central Iowa. And for the first part of February, the weather seems to be improving when it comes to sunlight this weekend. Yes, the sun will return Saturday and Sunday with highs in the 30s and maybe even the 40s and tolerable 20-degree temperatures at night. It looks like a decent forecast, yet lows in the single digits later in the midweek. And now let's hear a report from Dennis Hart on the Week in the News, gleaned from our Ames Tribune.
Thanks very much. It's good to be here on this fifth and final Friday in January. There was plenty of news on the pages of the Ames Tribune this past week, starting with last Friday, when the Trib reported on an open house held the day before by the city's Fire, Public Works, Planning, and Housing departments. That open house was about potentially moving Ames Fire Station No. 2, which is now on Welch Avenue in the heart of campus town. One potential site would be at the corner of State Avenue and Arbor Street. The reason for the possible move? The flow of traffic along Welch has increased so much that firefighters sometimes have a tough time responding to calls from Station No. 2. And that station does not have a drive-through, meaning each time a fire truck leaves, it has to drive in reverse to get back into the station. Also last Friday, word that the Boone School District had hired a new superintendent. She is Julie Trepa, who is now superintendent of two school districts in western Iowa. She was chosen from a field of 32 applicants to succeed current superintendent Brad Menard when he retires at the end of June. Trepa will start her new job July 1st. And last Friday, a report on Nobel laureate Richard Roberts' speech at Iowa State University. Roberts won a Nobel Prize for helping discover gene splicing in the 1990s. That's a process of inserting new genes into existing genetic material. He said any fear of genetic engineering is the result of misinformation. Saturday's paper brought word that health officials in Iowa were starting to think about what to do if a case of coronavirus is found in this state. That's the virus that is sickening people in China and causing deaths. Officials said the risk to Iowans is low, but that they are staying alert to the possibility of a problem at the state's two biggest higher education institutions, Iowa State University and the University of Iowa. Both have large numbers of students, staff, and faculty who visit China. Also Saturday, word that Republican State Senator Jerry Bain of Boone had announced his retirement. Bain was elected to the Senate in 1996 after having served as a Boone County supervisor. He is now president pro tem of the state Senate. The 65-year-old Bain said he will finish out his term of office. His current term ends this year. Also last Saturday, a report that some Ames residents had spoken out about the prospect of having multifamily housing built on State Avenue in Ames. And those who spoke during an open house put on by staff of the city's planning and housing department said they'd prefer single-family housing on the land owned by the city at 321 State Avenue. One Ames resident said the neighborhood already has 70% rentals. The planning and housing department is going to put together a report for the city council. There was more last Saturday, including word that the Ballard School Board had talked about possible solutions to the ongoing debate over the middle school library. There have been concerns over safety while transporting students from the middle school to the library located in an adjacent building, as well as student safety inside the public library. One possible plan includes the hiring of two part-time aides and the integration of the school's safety policy into the public library. And there was word that Ryman Gardens in Ames is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, with two back-to-back exhibits, a new garden space, and a wild and whimsical theme. The gardens opened their first display of the year this month. It's called Magical Fairy Woodland, and it has all kinds of colorful flowers inside the Hughes Conservatory. This coming May, sculptures constructed largely of Lego bricks will fill the gardens. Those sculptures will feature threatened, endangered, and extinct creatures such as polar bears, a dodo bird, and a rhino. Then in July, there will be human-scale frog sculptures crafted from copper. In addition, the Sycamore Falls garden space, which has been under construction for nearly 3 years, is expected to open this year, and the gardens will host a 25th birthday party in August. Sunday's Trib reported that a man had suffered life-threatening injuries on Saturday after he jumped from the third floor of the Ames power plant. Authorities said the man had run away from Mary Greeley Medical Center, where he was a mental health patient being held on a court order. Officers found him running near the railroad tracks near Duff Avenue and Main Street. At some point, he climbed a fence to the power plant, scaled the building by climbing ductwork and external stairs, then jumped from about 50 feet and landed on the north railroad tracks. A train was passing on the south tracks at the time, but the man was not struck. And Sunday's paper also reported that Nevada schools might consider adding esports to the roster of organized activities. Esports involve students playing team-based video games on a competitive basis. High School Activities Director Dustin Smith told school board members that offering esports would provide a chance to engage students who are typically not involved with other sports or activities, as well as teach teamwork and communication. A survey showed about 21% of the high school student body in Nevada would be interested in playing esports. Tuesday's paper had all kinds of political news on the front page, including campaign stops made in or around Ames by Democratic presidential hopefuls. One of those stops was made by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in Ames on Saturday night. Sanders told a capacity crowd at the city auditorium that he believes a win in Iowa could propel him to the White House. He said winning here gives him a very good chance in New Hampshire, Nevada, in California, and in other states. The senator told the crowd that he plans to raise the minimum wage, bridge the gender pay gap, and make trade unionization accessible for workers. Another story reported on the campaign stop that Amy Klobuchar made in Ames on Sunday. The Minnesota senator told a crowd of about 400 people at Jethro's Barbecue that she is the best candidate to defeat President Trump. She said voters need to have what she called a decency check and a patriotism check about Trump. She also talked about her health care plan, saying she would work toward a nonprofit public option to create competition and keep health care costs down. She said she would also focus on mental health and addiction treatment. Yet another story Tuesday reported on Democratic candidate Pete Buttigieg's campaign stop at the Boone County Fairgrounds on Monday. There he told a crowd of about 200 people that the nation needs a president who will be able to bring it together. The former South Bend mayor said in his words, "I think we're all ready for the day Donald Trump leaves the White House." And another story reported on the campaign stop that Democratic presidential hopeful Tom Steyer made in Ames on Monday night. The billionaire activist told a crowd of about 150 people at the Sheeman Building at Iowa State University that if he's elected, he would use presidential action to set renewable standards, the manufacturing of non-gasoline burning cars, and closing coal plants in the United States. Also Tuesday, word that police in Missouri had arrested a Cedar Rapids man who was being sought in connection with a shooting at the McDonald's restaurant on South Duff Avenue in Ames on Sunday night. Authorities said 20-year-old DeMarcus Stokes had entered the restaurant, left, then got into a car and fired one round of a shotgun toward a man and woman inside the restaurant. The woman was said to be Stokes' former girlfriend. Wednesday's trip brought word of yet another Democratic presidential hopeful's visit to the area. Andrew Yang showed up in Nevada, where he told a crowd that the reason Donald Trump became president is because 4 million manufacturing jobs were lost in key Midwestern states before the 2016 election. Yang also said he has plans to get the cost of school, health care, and housing down. Also Wednesday, word of yet another pre-caucus poll in Iowa. This one by Iowa State University showed Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders on top with 24% support, followed by Elizabeth Warren with 19%, former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg with 17%, and former Vice President Joe Biden with 15%. There was also word that the former owner of three Ames Street businesses who is facing charges for various tax violations in Story County is also waiting to be sentenced in federal court after pleading guilty to failing to withhold employment taxes over a 4-year period. 57-year-old Scott Griffin pleaded guilty to the federal charge in November. He faces up to 5 years in prison. Griffin used to own the Old Main Brewing Company, DG's Tap House, and the Corner Pocket. And there was also word that the Emergency Resource Project in Ames was teaming up with other Story County agencies to count the number of homeless people and offer them resources. The count started Wednesday and was scheduled to wrap up yesterday. Yesterday's paper brought word that Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg held a town hall event in Ames on Wednesday. The former South Bend mayor told a crowd of about 250 people about his Medicare for All proposal and his plans to unify the nation. Also yesterday, word that the Ames City Council had unanimously voted to recommend Iowa Creek as an alternative name for Squaw Creek. The final decision on whether to rename Squaw Creek rests with the U.S. Board of Geographic Names, a process that could take months. Earlier this month, the Story County Board of Supervisors suggested Iowa Creek or Sauk Creek as possible alternative names. Both reference Indian tribes that settled in Iowa. There was also word that the county supervisors had chosen RDG Planning and Design of Des Moines to engineer the county's new housing needs assessment study. That study will identify existing and future housing stock throughout the county and the barriers that exist for housing in the county. Also yesterday, a story about the three candidates vying for the position of Ames High School principal. All three came to Ames Wednesday evening for a public forum. The candidates are Tanise Colvin, who is now an assistant principal in the Muscatine School District, Valerie Nyberg, now an associate principal in the Cedar Rapids School District, and Jessica Gogarty, who is director of Central Academy in Des Moines. The Ames School Board will choose the new principal next month. There was more yesterday, including word that Boone County Supervisor Chad Bain announced his candidacy for the State Senate District 24 seat. That announcement came just days after Chad Bain's father, Jerry Bain, who is now the senator from that same district, said he was retiring. And there was a story that Nevada City Council members had passed a resolution approving a Community Catalyst grant application, another step in the council's effort to improve downtown Nevada. And that, my friends, is your summary of a very busy week of news indeed from the pages of the Ames Tribune. Lots of politics, to say the least, as caucus day approaches. I'm Dennis Hart, planning to rest up this weekend before I return right back here on Monday, which is, of course, caucus day, when I'll report on what's been making news around the state this week. In the meantime, I hope you have a safe, healthy, and happy weekend.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, and that was Star of Munster by the Barn Owl Band. With the improved weather forecast, you might consider attending a performance of 2020, the musical America, I Miss You, at Unity Church of Ames at 9th and Kellogg in Ames. It's a comedy-drama musical by Clark Ford and presented as a staged reading addressing the question, can liberals and conservatives really coexist in the same family? There are two performances just in time for the caucuses on January 31st, tonight, 7 p.m., and tomorrow, Saturday at 2 p.m. That's America, I Miss You at the Unity Church of Ames, 9th and Kellogg, in downtown Ames. And on Sunday, February 2nd, at 2 p.m., Ron Carson and his KHOY Music Committee will be hosting once again a Pantorium session with Satchel Bruna. Kid Bruna returns to his hometown from his big boy digs in the Twin Cities to share lyricism, guitar fingerings, and random musings at KHOY's Pantorium building. Enjoy our hospitality or catch the one-hour show live on the radio 2 to 3 p.m. at khoyfm.org or 89.1 FM Sunday, February 2nd. And on Tuesday, February 4th at 7 p.m., there will be an additional Pantorium session with Rod, Rockets of Desire. Get your post-caucus yayas with Rockets of Desire. This favorite Ames alt-folk foursome will be live. Note that presently we are not sure when this will air on the radio, as the concert time coincides with the airing of KHOY's ever-popular and award-winning Donna Lana Kitchen Hour, but it will air, and your yayas should be a part of the broadcast. Both these events will be broadcast and are prime examples of KHOY's commitment to live music, so plan to join the best live music energy there is at the KHOY Pantorium building at 410 Douglas at 2 p.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. Tuesday. But there's a climate crisis parade on the horizon, and caucus night, Monday, February 3rd, KHOY Studios will be broadcasting live to the world. Yes, Ursula Rudenberg, KHOY station manager extraordinaire, with assistance from Pacifica Radio, will be broadcasting live from the KHOY studios to the world with up-to-the-moment excitement of the Iowa caucuses. But there's a climate crisis parade on the horizon, and on the line is Ed Fallon, longtime environmentalist who walks the talk like no other. Are you there, Ed?
Good morning.
Well, great. Great to hear your voice. Since 2009, you've hosted the Fallon Forum, Iowa's most prominent progressive political talk radio program, which airs on 7 stations in 5 states. And there's an upcoming climate crisis parade set for tomorrow, Saturday, February 1. Let's start there. What's all planned tomorrow, Ed?
Well, it's kind of an odd name, Climate Crisis Parade. It evolved out of this sense of urgency last fall when Steve Shivers with the Citizens Climate Lobby contacted a handful of us and said, hey, we've got to do something big. This climate situation is getting more out of control. This is when we were seeing, and then shortly after that, we saw the beginning of the incredible forest fires in Australia and so many other indicators of just how severe this problem is becoming. And so we wanted to begin to showcase the number of species that have gone extinct that are threatened with extinction, including, I mean, if you look at the scientific evidence really carefully, everyone, including the humanity, is threatened with extinction. And that's not overstating it. It's not being dramatic or using hyperbole. The scientific data says we're at risk of creating a planet that will not sustain human life. So we had a sense of urgency, and we talked about a parade, showing the species that have gone extinct or that are threatened. And it kind of evolved from that into a parade that focused on all the different aspects of climate chaos, including how it affects indigenous communities who will be leading our parade, how it affects communities of color, minority communities, brown and black communities around the world, many of whom several groups have signed on. There are now 70 groups. It started with 6 organizations. Now there are 70 organizations that have signed on as partners. And we're expecting a big crowd. It's hard to say for sure, but the interest keeps growing, and we might have as many as 1,000 people show up.
Oh, I think so. 70 organizations. You're quite an extensive list. Who really stands out on your 70 co-sponsors?
Well, I... I can't say because it's every organization.
They're all pretty special.
Small is important. Yeah. So I can't tell you, but I know we have several Native American groups involved. We have several groups representing the African American community, and Vote Mob is involved. Voto Latino, LULAC. Just lots of groups that don't normally come together that are starting to say, hey, we've all got a common interest in climate. Let's work on this together. And I should say that the focus is on the rising threat of climate change and specifically how the media continue to refuse to give it the appropriate coverage that a crisis of this dimension deserves. And the connection, I mean, what's happening is, of course, the Iowa caucuses, but starting today, January 31st in Des Moines, there are so many media from all over the world congregating that it is, I don't know if there will be a place in on the planet that has more media, centralized in one place than Des Moines.
Sure.
And so we want to take advantage of that and say, look, you know, for Bold Iowa, for our part, our work has been to bird dog presidential candidates. And we've done that extensively. There have been 250 people involved statewide in talking with candidates about the climate crisis. We've been doing this for over a year now, and we've collected quite a lot of information. It's on the boldiowa.com website, and it shows just where candidates are saying, what they're saying on climate, where they stand. This event is not about any particular candidate. We've invited everybody to participate, and if candidates want to come, that's fine. They just can't turn it into a campaign rally. But we want people to know that, you know, candidates have been pressed hard on climate, and many of them have stepped forward with very specific plans, very good ideas. Where the problem is the media, largely, and not entirely. It's certainly candidates, some of them could do better, and certainly the public needs to step up more. But the real gaping hole in this whole conversation about how we move forward on climate is the media. And again, not all media. Some are doing a great job. KHOI, for example, The Guardian. Inside Climate News, there's a lot of publications that are doing a fine job, but unfortunately, most aren't. And they will be there in force on February 1st. And I know it's a bit of a stretch thinking, okay, are the media going to cover a story that says, hey, you're not doing your job? We don't know, but we think the event is colorful enough, interesting enough, dramatic enough, where we expect that they'll want to be there, even if we are offering criticism.
Well, and I understand that there's a Conestoga that'll be kind of leading your parade by the indigenous folks, I guess, Meskwaki Nation. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a broad coalition of Native communities, Meskwaki, Omaha, Winnebago, and folks from around the country, too. So, and they'll be leading it to drive home the point that colonialism is a big part of the problem. And, you know, the Native communities, indigenous leaders have, you know, talked about the problem in various ways forever and have answers to what we need to do to address the climate crisis.
Well, I think
in terms of how we live on the land and all that.
Sure. And how we are continuing to live on the land. But it seemed like the colonial paradigm, if you will, that was transferred to America in the Conestoga days. Everything seemed to be, if there were, more was better, bigger was better, faster was better. There seems to be a lot of tenets of our modern culture that are kind of holding us back from this sustainability that you're striving for.
Right. Yeah, and it's a problem that hasn't been fixed. And it's a problem that just keeps digging our hole deeper and deeper. And the challenge is how do we transition from a mindset of nonstop, never-ending growth, you know, continuous resource extraction to the point of not even having access to some of the critical resources we need to live, and how do we transition from that to the vision that that Native communities have outlined for us? That we see it in Iowa with the growth in the number of farmers who are starting to try to challenge a system that has not been fair to farmers. I mean, I know a lot of farmers. They're all good people. Well, most of them. 99% of them are great people. But they're trapped in a system that that is not friendly to them and not sustainable for our land. And but they're, you know, it's encouraging to see so many farmers. I know you've got some great people doing very innovative stuff in and around Ames, and those models need to be lifted up as examples of how we can begin to change how we live on the land. It's a big shift. That's the problem. It's a big shift. We don't have much time to accomplish it. You know, 2030, by the year 2030, according to science, we have to have made a drastic shift in the trajectory of carbon emissions, of greenhouse gas emissions in general. And we're not even beginning that shift yet. We're still going the wrong way. I mean, right now, and your audience probably knows this, because Story County is now ground zero for the Dakota Access Pipeline. The corporation that owns that wants to double the flow of oil. And that not only puts more risk on our land and our water if and when there's going to be a spill, it also is the equivalent of 30 new coal-fired power plants. And that includes an awful lot of emissions that will be added to, you know, our carbon footprint, and we can't afford that. That trajectory has to change. And so I really want to commend the Story County Board of Supervisors for unanimously communicating to the Iowa Utilities Board that they need to at least allow a public hearing to allow people to hear what the corporation, what Energy Transfer wants to do, and for Energy Transfer and the Utilities Board to hear why people might not want that
in
Story County or anywhere in Iowa.
Yeah, they are hoping to double the capacity. Is that the issue? And then the
right.
pump and the And I guess the pumps here are in Story County to do that.
The pumping station is just south of Cambridge, and they want to do some major changes to that to allow them to, you know, pump twice as much oil through a pipe that was designed for 570,000 barrels a day, not 1.1 million. So it's a radical change that they're proposing. And it's, again, shocking to me that, you know, present company excluded, there has not been a lot of media conversation about this this huge, you know, potential climate impact. And again, not just the climate impact, but an impact on our land and our water and our property rights, because that thing's going to break. And if it was bad enough when it might break at half a million barrels a day, but you double that and you've got a problem that's even worse.
Well, I'm sure these will be some of the topics discussed at the climate crisis parade. I was reading recently.
In fact, Pat, there will be two floats that bring home the point about the pipeline. So yeah, it'll be there.
Yeah. Well, Ed, you've evolved essentially. You're quite a walker. I know you've walked across Iowa in reference to this pipeline. You've walked across America to promote the crisis emergency of the climate change. You've walked in France. What's the tally? How many miles have you walked?
Well, I walk a lot. I try to walk 5 miles a day.
Well, sure, but
in terms of causes, there have been five. I've done five walks or marches. And I don't know, what's the full tally, 4,000 miles?
Okay, yeah.
Maybe a lot.
It is a lot. But you evolved into parades.
Well, the parade is only four blocks long.
Well, yeah, but still you're out there walking the talk, if you will.
Thank you.
So, you know, this is a wintertime activity that you've put forth. I'm sure you'd be maybe have a preference to be curled up with a book, but you're going to be out hitting the streets once again. Who do you look to for inspiration and motivation in these causes?
Well, you know, there are so many people who have been doing important work for so long, conservation efforts, you know, various types of preservation work, sustainable agricultural work, both people out in the field and folks who are doing the important work of innovation, you know, thinking, planning, writing. I don't have a specific person I can point to, but I just know there's a lot of people doing important work, and there's a lot of new people on the scene as well. that are really starting to raise a higher profile of the urgency of our times. And again, sometimes people say, "Well, Ed, you become a one-issue guy." I said, "No. I'm concerned about many, many issues. But there's a crisis that's happening now that trumps all those issues. No pun intended. It has to take precedence.
Okay.
Because nothing will matter. We can't fix the climate crisis. Nothing's going to matter.
And you're promoting a turnout for the Climate Crisis Parade starting at noon, February 1st. That's tomorrow, Saturday, at the Cowles Plaza in downtown Des Moines.
Oh, common. Yep.
And we'll be looking for you, Ed.
And we're hoping for good weather, and so far it looks like we might get what is good enough for February 1st.
So far, so good. Okay. Thank you, Ed Fallon.
Thanks, Pat.
Phenology is writing down nature's happenings when they occur. The first snowy owl of winter or the last marsh hawk of the autumn are noted in a journal for future reference. Today's phenology is about great horned owls. Last evening, two owls were hooting while the moon was rising in the east. The air was clear and crisp, just right for breathing. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Then, hoo, hoo, hoo. As they blended their mating calls, they flew into the acreage to their cherished perch near the rabbit habitat, consisting of shrubs and piles of limbs that rabbits cherish. Rabbits and owls feed a system of nature that is landscaped for wildlife, where I come from. The farmstead has 120 years of transition. A prairie marsh complex is what it was. Now it's rabbitat for rabbits, mice, foxes, hawks, and owls, and humans. Great horned owls are our largest native owl and are approximately 18 inches tall and weigh up to 4 pounds. Distinctive horns made of tufts of feathers adorn each side of their head. Great horned owls are the first birds to nest each winter, and they announce their nesting intentions with their calls to all that live in the woodlot. Often an old crow or red-tailed hawk nest provides a platform for their eggs, and they will be laying eggs soon, yep, in January. To successfully incubate eggs in winter requires special anatomical features. Owls have an area on their belly or abdomen that does not have feathers called a brood patch. The area, about the size of two eggs, is bare skin. Feathers are designed to completely cover the brood patch. By teasing the feathers aside on the abdomen, the incubation zone or brood patch will be uncovered if you ever have a bird in hand. Both males and females will possess a brood patch, as both will incubate. Yet females, being larger in raptors, do the majority of incubation, particularly through the night. Once eggs are laid, adults will secure the eggs by essentially wrapping their skin around the eggs so incubation can proceed successfully. By sucking the eggs into their abdomens, the body's warmth can be directed through the skin straight to the eggs. The feathers provide an overcoat of insulation to the system. Since one side of the eggs receives the best skin-to-egg contact, the eggs are turned or rotated often. Owls incubate eggs up to 35 days. Raptors typically lay 2, sometimes 3 eggs. A pair that successfully incubate 3 eggs will pass along those traits genetically to their young. It is believed that's one reason why females are larger than males in the world of raptors. The Decora eagle pair are illustrating this point. When an adult leaves the nest and is relieved by its mate, viewers can see the eggs in a triangle or 3 in a line. The female incubates the triangle orientation, and the smaller male, with smaller brood patch, lines up the eggs, one after another, to do the best he can. When great horned owls initiate egg laying so early, that provides an advantage to a predator of mammals and other birds. When their young are 40 days old or so, they are fledging or flying freely from the nest in March for the first time. And while young are achieving self-sufficiency in the following weeks, the young of their prey, mice and rabbits and other birds, are vulnerable to their hunting strategy and needs. As in The Early Bird Gets the Worm, great horned owls are called tigers of the night sky. They are the main predator of mammals or birds of the woodlot. In our current era, breeding bird surveys are indicating great horned owl numbers are not increasing, possibly due to a virus called West Nile virus. With fewer great horns, other raptors such as endangered barn owls are experiencing a recovery in Iowa savanna areas where grasslands meet the forests, or in our isolated farmstead woodlots. At any rate, great horned owl numbers will remain formidable to prey items with the prognosis that great horned owls will always be with us, and their strategy to be the first to nest in January each winter secures their presence into the future. And that's our phonology for today. This is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 Story City, Ames. Thank you. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio, and I'm Pat Schlarbaum, here with Paul Hertz this morning. It always seems appropriate to weave in an acknowledgement of KHOY's recent fundraising that was a success. So if you're a new member, a new listener, a new business supporting KHOY, realize the front door at 410 Douglas is always welcoming to those that want to check out the station. This is where all the local programming begins. This is where volunteer opportunities begin. This is where the appreciation for your contributions to the station begins. And from the heart, this is where our appreciation to you, the listener, is everlasting. Thank you. We're KHOY, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. And come join us from the heart. And Crystal Davis with the Ames Convention and Tourism Bureau is joining us this morning. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, so
it
to
sure
speak.
Is.
The roads weren't slick, but it was sure a nice dusting of snow.
Sure looks pretty. Sometimes not good to drive in, but I sure like looking at it.
I must be getting used to it, because it was kind of pretty this morning.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, it's the last day of January, so we're going to be looking ahead to February, and there's some great events happening here around in our community.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, to get us started, just want to tell folks that there's some ongoing events that go on all through the month. And one of them is to get you outside and moving, even though it's winter. And it's called Beat the Blues Winter Marathon. And that's with Story County Conservation, and started in January and goes through March. And they want you to complete a marathon that's 26 miles at your own pace by snowshoeing, skiing, riding your bike, hiking on the trails. And just a fun opportunity to explore Story County. And they have a fun log that you can download and keep track of that all through March.
Sure enough. And what a great way to see the natural areas of Story County.
Absolutely. Another thing ongoing is Cyclone Cinema. That happens on the weekends, Thursday through Sunday. And that is at Carver Room 101 on the ISU campus. And that's open to the public, where they have a 7 o'clock and 10 p.m. showing of movies. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit off the first run, so still very popular movies. And so we invite you to check that out as well. Also ongoing, February 1st means there's a new workspace craft over at the Memorial Union, and this month it is string art. So you don't have to register, you just drop in during their open hours, and they have talented staff who will help you create a wonderful piece of art that you might want to keep for yourself or give away as a gift, because Valentine's Day is coming up.
So yes, it is. How super is that?
Yeah. But as we kind of get into some more individual events for February, there's an exciting one this Saturday through Story County Conservation. It's called Snakes Alive. So it's National Serpent Day on February 1st. And so this is a fun way to celebrate and explore a misunderstood creature. And they're going to kind of make it easy and comfortable for you to learn about snakes and their place in nature. And that's at 10 a.m. With Story County Conservation on Saturday.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then our great community theater actors is having their Leading Ladies production go this weekend. So we invite you to check that out. Not only this first weekend in February, but the second weekend in February. They've got lots of afternoon and Sunday matinee time. So be sure to check out Leading Ladies, which will be a fun play that they're putting on, and it's a clever disguises help the duo distract the grieving family, but romance gets in the way. Uh-huh. So you want to check that out as well.
And where was that located?
So that's at the Actors Theater, which is at 120 Abraham Drive here in Ames. And so you can, over
Abraham Drive
in West Ames.
Western side.
Mm, they're kind of tucked into a residential area.
Yeah.
And they,
off the old Lincoln Swing.
That is correct.
The old Lincoln Way.
Yeah.
Just find it just south of the new Lincoln Way.
Right. Yeah. Another fun thing to do this weekend is our friends here in downtown Ames, Treats on a Leash, is having a they're going to be doing a benefit for the Ames Animal Shelter. But the fun part is you can bring your dog to watch the Cyclone Hockey play starting at 7:30 p.m. at the Ames ISU Ice Arena. And part of your admission for bringing your dog in goes towards a great cause. So be sure to check that out. Treats on a Leash are hosting that event in conjunction with Cyclone Hockey. Also coming up, ongoing on Monday nights, Mucky Duck has their quiz night every Monday night. Starts at 8 p.m. and they have a challenging mix of trivia every Monday with great prizes and a great atmosphere. So be sure to check that out if you'd like to test your knowledge. Mm-hmm. The Owls program through Story County Conservation has an event called Jiminy Eat Crickets, The Unlikely Adventures of Raising Crickets for Human Consumption. So if you're curious about crickets and maybe why we should put them into our meal plan, you can check that out at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, February 4th, and learn more about crickets and how they can benefit your diet.
And the OWLS acronym is Older, Wiser, mm-hmm.
Livelier Souls.
Livelier Seniors.
Yeah. And so you don't have to maybe consider yourself older to participate or what.
Oh, exactly.
But, you know, everyone here is a little bit wise, so be sure to check that out.
Oh, welcome and open to all.
Yes, for sure. There's also a great event coming up on Saturday, February 8th through Sunday, February 9th. It's the Black Arts and Music Festival that will be hosted in the Ames Public Library. And this is a two-day family-friendly event celebrating the artistic and cultural contributions of African and African-American visual and performing artists in this community. So a great event to check out both Saturday the 8th and Sunday, February 9th. And I forgot to mention leading up to that, on February 7th, there is if you'd like to learn about Chinese tea service, Little Woods Herbs and Teas here in downtown Ames is having a drop-in Chinese tea service where you can kind of learn about what it is, taste some of their great tea, and that's all day 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. On Friday, February 17th, and you can just drop in.
I always love hearing about national opportunities, you know, the Ames community can, when you're here, you're going to be exposed to a lot of different cultures.
Absolutely. And so it's a great place, not only for that, but anything with arts and being outdoors and sports and eating and shopping, you know, or using your hands to get creative. We've got it all.
But learning about another culture is just really precious and special.
It is, another thing coming up in the early part of February is the ever-popular Orchid Fest. That'll be at Ryman Gardens on Saturday, February 8th during their open hours. So be sure to check that out. And maybe if you need to get indoors away from the snow, what a great place to rejuvenate yourself in the greenery and check out the beautiful orchids. That's on February 8th. And then a fun thing that's been rescheduled to February 8th is the trout release at Ada Hayden Park. So if you're into ice fishing, or maybe you just want to see what happens when you release trout, that's put on with the partners of Iowa DNR and Jack's Outdoor Gear here in Ames. And they had to reschedule due to weather. It was a little too warm, but they're hoping for Saturday, February 8th at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Ada Hayden Park. You can come see what that's all about as well.
I'll try to remember that next Friday. It was rescheduled.
Yes.
It was going to be tomorrow, but the ice conditions aren't quite
correct.
There.
So they're going to try
it's rescheduled
again.
For February 8th.
Right.
But we'll need to make sure that it's going to be a go.
As always, check.
I'll try to remember that for next Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So kind of check ahead on that one.
Yeah.
A fun thing to do if you're interested in running outdoors, the Ames Area Running Club is having a February Frozen Foot Run on Sunday, February 9th starting at 2 p.m. And check out their website for information. But just a fun time to run and have some fellowship and get some good healthy exercise as well. Sunday, February 9th brings the next edition of the Iowa Songwriter Showcase, and that's at the Goldfinch Room at Stevens Auditorium. They have shows at 5 and 7:30 p.m., and they're featuring Danica and the Jeb. And this is an acoustic duo, and I've heard nothing but great reviews about the Goldfinch Room, and you get to learn more about the artists and how they came to write their songs and the storytelling behind that. So a great intimate experience with great music as well.
What a great venue to offer some opportunity to meet with the artists themselves.
Right.
The Goldfinch Room.
The Goldfinch Room. After, as we kind of get into the end of our second week of February, Valentine's Day is getting closer. So Della Vitti here in downtown Ames is having a Sew in Love with Wine and Chocolate Pairing event. And you can either do it on February 10th or February 11th. And they'll kind of how you to pair chocolate with wine, kind of in an anticipation of leading into Valentine's Day. And they are experts at wine here in Ames, so be sure to check that out as well. And that's, you know, the busy first couple of weeks of February.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
You've really mapped out quite a list of activities for people to engage here in Ames. And so are you looking forward to better weather conditions? Is that going to help? Your outlook, do you think, here with the Ames Convention and Tourism?
Oh, we like all weather. And we, you know, Ames and ISU, we have so much going on both inside and outside. So whether it's a little snowy or a little rainy, there's so much to do, still so much to participate in. So we don't mind the weather so much because things are happening.
Yeah, it's sure great of you to come and share what's going on in the Ames community on these
Talk
opportunities.
We just want folks to take advantage of what's right here in their backyard.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks. Crystal Davis with the Ames Convention and Tourism Bureau. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m. on Fridays here on KHOY at 89.1 FM. And remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. This program is engineered by Paul Hertz. Thank you, Paul. And I've been your reporter and host, Pat Schlarbaum. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. We also heard from the Barn Owl Band. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. So if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOY meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.